Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Friday, March the 27th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, crews tackle a blaze at a car dealership in Canterbury.
Fire authorities have arrived very promptly. It looks like there were no casualties, nobody injured. It also looks like they've managed to rescue all of the vehicles.
Plans to build thousands of homes near Sittingbourne are delayed.
They were pointing out the severe lack of school places in Swale and saying that this development only includes a primary school when in fact we have a shortage of secondary school places.
And a mum urges education bosses to secure a school place for her son.
These children, they need the support in place. They need to be safe. They need to be included because putting Hudson in a mainstream school, that will isolate him.
But first today, if you're looking to get on the housing ladder, new figures have revealed the most and least affordable parts of Kent. Property prices in Dover are just 7 times residents' earnings, but over in the west of the county, in Seven Oaks, it's much higher at more than 10 times. Medway and Swale are also in the more affordable areas, with Maidstone and Tunbridge and Morling at the other end of the scale. Well, our reporter Sam Lennon has been getting reaction from Jenny and Louise, who are business owners in Dover, and Joshua, who's lived in the town for the past year.
I have lots of friends and none of them are poor and they live in lovely houses and nobody's moved out. So,
What keeps you in Dover?
I love it.
Really?
I love the town. I love the people. I'm sad that lots of people have abandoned it, but I understand why.
And why is that?
Well, people are leaving. 2020 come, so businesses started to go online. Businesses started to leave the high street. They've gone into St James's. There is no reason to walk up the precincts anymore, really.
I live in River, so I definitely stay local. I have seen it rise a lot over the last sort of 10 years, but if you look compared to the likes of Canterbury, all those places around us, it's a lot higher. So I do think it influences people to stay here.
Has it influenced you personally?
Not myself personally, but I think if I was to buy again, it probably would have a big impact.
It would, the chances are you'd buy here in this, district. Right. Okay, and what do you think of Dover as a place to live in?
I think Dover is improving. It's become a lot more community focused, which is really nice. We've sort of taken this over about 2 months ago, and the amount of stuff that's actually available for people in Dover are actually quite lucky, and I don't think a lot of people realise.
There's definitely cheap prices in the area. We're talking about moving in general. It was a lot easier to move here, but that was more because I had family here. It's not bad. I did debate getting a mortgage around this area. But like a house mortgages can end up being cheaper in the long run. But just getting that initial payment now is a problem.
Yeah, it's the deposit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what do you think of Dover as a town? You've been here for a year now.
Yeah, I like it. It's very relaxed, it's very chilled. You kind of get to know everyone really quickly. It's a small area.
Now you can see the data for where you live within our story at Kent Online today. We'd also like to hear your views. Did you find it tricky to buy a property in the county? What do you think is the most and least affordable? You can leave a comment and you can also get involved on our social media.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and crews have been tackling a blaze at a car dealership in Canterbury, which caused heavy smoke and travel disruption. 7 fire engines were sent to the Mercedes-Benz showroom on Sturry Road at around 5:30 this morning. Anyone in the area was being told to keep doors and windows closed. Our reporter Brad Harper was at the scene earlier and he spoke to Kent County Councillor Jamie Henderson.
It looks like a fire was started at around about 5:30 this morning. Fire authorities have arrived very promptly. It looks like there were no casualties, nobody injured. It also looks like they've managed to rescue all of the vehicles. Some of them may have a little smoke on the outside, but it looks like a full rescue of all the valuable vehicles inside. And obviously they've blocked all the drains to protect our local waterways. So it looks like It looks like now, obviously, there's been a great amount of disruption to the morning traffic flow with, I think, seven or more engines here, which is obviously needed, and we'd like to apologise to the public for that. However, it does look like within the next couple of hours that they may be able to take a lot of these vehicles off the main road and get it cleared so that at least the afternoon school pick-up times shouldn't be affected. So, again, I do apologise to the public. But the fire service have done a great job, and everybody's safe, and the business will, it looks like, be closed for some time. The only things they're doing now are checking with power networks to make sure the electricity is safe, and then we'll try to get back to business as normal for people. But obviously this business itself is going to be closed for a significant amount of time while they have the cleanup.
And could you talk me through where the fire started?
I haven't been given the information about where the fire started, who started it. That investigation is starting already. The police have been here as well. So the two agencies are working closely together. But at this time, I have heard some information, but I would rather the police be allowed to fulfil their investigation before speculating.
Meantime, police have been investigating a suspected arson attack at a flat in Dover. Three fire engines were sent to tackle the blaze in a bedroom on Auden Way just after 7:30 yesterday evening. No one was hurt, but it's thought to have been started deliberately. A Gillingham man who admitted to being violent and manipulative towards his girlfriend has been jailed. A court heard Thomas Bull left his victim isolated from friends and family and on one occasion gripped her by the throat. The 32-year-old from Mears Court Road has been sentenced to 4 years and 4 months. Nine men have been jailed after stealing £700,000 from cash machines, including some in Kent. The gang managed to bypass security systems to withdraw money in more than 3,000 separate transactions across the country. ATMs in Gillingham and Greenhithe were targeted. The men have been locked up for a total of more than 25 years. Now, plans to build 2,500 homes near Sittingbourne have been delayed. A decision on the development off Sheppey Way in Bobbing was due to be made last night, but it's been deferred by Swale Council. It follows opposition from local residents. Well, our local democracy reporter Dan Essen was at last night's meeting.
It was recommended for approval by council officers, which meant basically, you know, council officers read the documents, assessed it in line with local and national policy, and they thought that that the committee should have approved it. But perhaps unsurprisingly, it's not particularly popular. There were seven public speakers against it, and most of the councillors in the room didn't have anything great to say about it. Particularly the location, people were very unhappy with. Some councillors even said this is a great development, just in a very, very poor location. So lots of both visiting councillors from local parish councils and members of the council itself were talking about the roads really can't handle it. They were pointing out the severe lack of school spaces in Swale and saying that this development only includes a primary school when in fact we have a shortage of secondary school places. So that's not really sufficient in their eyes. So eventually a motion to approve the development ended up being defeated, and rather than reject it, Swaleborough Council then came up with a motion to defer it, basically to push the decision into the future. And while waiting for that future decision, they want council officers to negotiate with the developers to try and increase the percentage of affordable housing from 35% up to 40%. That motion was passed, but they were warned by Swaleborough Council officers that there is a deadline for deciding on the application of April 10th, and this deferment means it will be decided probably beyond April 10th. Next meeting is next Thursday. There's already an agenda out for that, so it's not going to be decided then. And basically what this means is that the developers, Catesby Estates, have a pretty good chance of being able to take it to an appeal to the government planning inspector, which could potentially reprimand Swaleborough Council or even just give it permission themselves for not determining the application within a sufficient deadline.
Kent Online reports.
It's been revealed a man who died in a motorbike crash in Chatham had cocaine in his system. 45-year-old Austin Carter collided with a wall outside a property on Walderslade Road last October. An inquest has heard he was also riding above the speed limit and died from multiple injuries. This is one of our most read stories on the website today. A misconduct panel's been told how two Kent police officers called in sick so they could go on a cruise ship career course. Constables Ben Matthews and Alex Tribe were based at Cold Harbour Station in Aylesford when they ditched work last year and were caught when pictures of them on the course appeared on social media. They've both since resigned, but bosses say they would have been sacked if they were still serving. Plans for a new multi-million pound super surgery in Greenhithe have taken a step forward. Bosses in Dartford have bought a former car park in Stella Avenue from Kent County Council, unlocking the land needed for the proposed Greenhithe Medical Centre. It's hoped the £9 million project will be up and running next year and serve tens of thousands of patients. Now, a Medway mum has been forced to give up work to look after her son after he was given a place at a mainstream school that can't support his needs. Five-year-old Hudson Black has autism and sensory processing disorders. Despite having an education, health and care plan, he was allocated Parkwood Primary, who've also said they're not suitable. I've been chatting to Hudson's mum, Charlotte Day.
He's quite a complex child. He's been diagnosed with autism, which is moderate to severe, ADHD, global development delay, sensory processing disorder, sleep cycle disorder, and he's pre-verbal, meaning he can't really communicate in a way that a child of his age usually would. Obviously, we're really concerned about putting him into a mainstream school. We're not going to do it because he won't thrive. He won't get the support he needs and it's unsafe for him. When I had to apply for his school, he didn't have his EHCP in place. So I had to apply for a mainstream. He received his EHCP in October and his EHCP stated he needs a specialist provision. So we then reached out to, I believe it was 7 schools in total. So 2 were mainstream, which the LA told me they had to do for him to then be turned down and then they can reach for specialist. 5 specialist schools, all of them turned him down due to capacity. I had a mediation meeting in January, I believe, where they reconsulted 4 specialist schools who have also declined again. And now we're just stuck.
What's going on at the moment with Hudson? Because you've actually had to give up working, haven't you? So that you're looking after him at home.
Yeah, so his dad is at work in the week. So obviously he can't help. My mum has him at the moment so I can speak with you because he'd be climbing and jumping all top of me. But generally I care for him 24/7. He's at home with me. We can't really do much because of his needs. We've got a park outside, luckily, so we can go there, we take him on his bike. But things like even going to the shops, it's a challenge. There's a risk of elopement from him and there are risks of meltdowns in the shop. And then obviously there's people looking, it's really stressful. So we tend to just stay at home, just baking or colouring, whatever it might be, run around the house for 10 minutes or out in the park. But yeah, he's stuck, really. He's got no routine and he's suffering more than anyone.
And that's also equally really tough on you, Charlotte, as well, to be doing that. I mean, how is it making you feel? You must be really sad that he's not able to go to school.
Yeah, of course. I am sad for him. And although I enjoy having that one-to-one time with him because he does have 3 other siblings, it does have a draining effect on my mental health. Like myself,
it's just such an unfortunate situation, and I'm sure you know, Charlotte, you're not the only mum and you're not the only parent who's in this position. I mean, your heart must go out to everyone who's currently dealing with this.
It's you know, it's so demanding and challenging, and all you want is the best for your child. And although I'm fighting for everything I can for him, I'm not getting anywhere, and this is a result I'm having to go down to make him known and make it known that these children, they need the support in place. They need to be safe. They need to be included, because putting Hudson in a mainstream school, that will isolate him. It will affect his mental health. He won't thrive. He won't be able to do everything that every other child is doing in that school. So all these parents with all these children that are missing out on that education they need, it's just not fair.
Now, a tribunal appeal process is underway, but Medway Council say they're committed to ensuring all children have access to school places that meet their educational needs. Elsewhere, a fraud team's found irregular invoices from taxi firms taking special educational needs children to school in Kent. The County Council has a legal duty to provide transport for SEM pupils, but bosses have identified £85,000 worth of irregularities. They're promising to take action.
Kent Online reports.
Funeral directors say they're shocked after a crematorium in Kent revealed plans to increase prices by nearly 25%. Bosses at the site in Herne Bay say the changes will come into effect from April the 1st. It'll see a peak weekday service go up from £1,150 to £1,425. Westerly Group, which oversees the crematorium, say they've worked hard to limit price changes, but they're necessary due to external cost pressures. Experts have confirmed they're investigating a building site on Romney Marsh after nearby residents raised concerns about health and safety. Work on flats to replace a former care home on Coast Road in Littlestone has been ongoing since 2024. Police have also confirmed they've been called to the site. The HSE will be sending an inspector. A petrol station boss in Dover is cutting the cost of fuel for local residents as prices continue to soar. Motorists can get 5p off a litre of diesel and petrol at Whitfield services for the next 6 weeks. They'll need to show their licence to confirm their postcode in order to be eligible. A Kent campaign group has welcomed a landmark ruling over in the US against the owners of YouTube and Instagram. Google and Meta have been found liable for a young woman's addiction to social media. Well, Kate has been speaking to Amy Lawrence, who's from Whitstable Unplugged.
This is a huge milestone, you know, in a landmark case, really. I think it sets a precedent for, you know, future similar cases. It's an incredibly positive step, obviously, of this sort of recognition and validation that, yes, this technology is incredibly harmful, is incredibly addictive, and it was created that way to draw us in and our children and future generations.
That's what I found particularly interesting about this, is it wasn't necessarily that the whole of social media is bad and detrimental. It was just the addictive quality of it that was on trial. Can you, I mean, what, with your campaigning and sort of your research and stuff, it must be something that you've come across before. What are your thoughts on, yeah, that addictive nature of the technology?
Absolutely. I mean, we know that they have been creating these technologies to hook us in, to keep us using them for as long as possible. You know, as adults, as parents, I find it incredibly addictive. I find it very hard to being able to control my own use. And I can't imagine how difficult it is for young people whose brains have not developed in the way that ours have and don't have the control mechanisms that we do. As parents and you know, as adults, there's only so much you can do to help guide them. But unfortunately, these technologies are there and we need to do more about it. And this ruling is a huge milestone, a big landmark case. And I really hope that something positive comes out of it.
Well, the Prime Minister's, you know, said this morning that they're committed to tackling, you know, not just the addictive nature, I suppose, but the issue of, you know, young people using social media. We're already seeing that, you know, they're trialling bans and also curfews and limits and things like that. Do you feel now, sort of after all these years of campaigning, that progress is being made and that we are taking that step in the right direction?
Well, you know, I think progress is happening too slowly. There are people who, it's affecting everyone's lives. But there are some people who are completely addicted. We don't know what the future impact will look like for these young people. And this is urgent. We need to see action. I'm very happy to hear Keir Starmer making positive comments about it, but I need to see, and we all need to see action.
And is it a case really of, we don't need to wait for the government, and as parents and carers of young people, we don't need for the government to make the decision for us. We have the capacity to sort of regulate our own children's use of social media.
Yes. And I mean, that's what Whitstable Unplugged and many other groups are trying to do, is form local communities where we can support each other to put our own limits into the extent that we can. if we do it collectively, it's much more powerful. But yes, we do need these regulations. We need controls in place. Quite frankly, we need young people to not have access to social media, and for parents to delay smartphone instruction until children are 14 minimum. I think that in years to come, as a generation, we're going to look back and wonder how these organisations and companies got away with it for so long, making money out of affecting our own and our children's mental health.
Prime Minister Keir Starmer says tougher restrictions are on the way. Customers in Dartford have been saying a sad farewell to one of the town's longest running businesses. Lee's Hairdressers has been trading in Hythe Street for more than 40 years. It's been run by Julie Wood and Sharon Matthews, who say they've made the decision to close due to high bills and building maintenance costs. And finally, a member of the royal family has been celebrating her hen do on the Isle of Sheppey. Lady Marina Windsor is the granddaughter of the Duke of Kent. She's thought to have visited the ferry house in Harty.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and it's a trip to Crawley Town for Gillingham in League Two this weekend. The Jewels will be hoping to end a run of four defeats. They've also conceded 14 goals in those games. Well, let's hear first from manager Gareth Ainsworth, who's been speaking to the club's media team.
We've got to focus on ourselves, what we can do, you know, and I want to do that from now to the end of the season, really. You know, yeah, everyone can get frustrated and everyone could be down about it. But listen, I'm positive we go again and we have a go at Crawley. We've changed the manager. We seem to get that and had that quite a few times this season. But you've got to go there and give everything you've got, boys. And yeah, we'll work on things we're going to do rather than what Crawley are going to do, because we don't really know. Obviously, they've had a change of manager. Scott Lindsay's well known in these parts as well as anywhere, and yeah, good friend as well. So yeah, gutted for Scott, but it's football management. That's what happens, and we've got to make sure that we play our game on Saturday, and we go there and we get the points.
Every team, regardless of level, will go through sticky patches. We're going through a sticky patch ourselves. But do you see the right mentality and attitude in the group on a day-to-day basis in training?
Yeah, listen, I've said in the past, you know, the boys give everything. I want the levels of everything to raise sometimes, and some just won't be able to reach it. They're actually full tilt, but some will, and will get better, you know. But yeah, my job to sort out and motivate and make sure these boys are playing out their skin, because we're going to have a good following. Fans are great. They really get behind us. They certainly give 100%, and my boys do as well. Just trying to raise these levels now of what we used to. Let's raise the levels up, because we need to. You know, the teams are getting better and better in this league, and we've had a tough second half of the season. But listen, always positive. Get involved in getting behind the boys on Saturday, and I'm sure we'll have something to cheer about.
And we can hear now from defender Sam Gale.
There's no way dressing it up. We need to win. Crawley, regardless of their change of manager, should be a team with the ability we have within our squad. On paper, we should be beaten. We could have great backing. It's a nice local game. Yeah, we need to win. It's plain and simple. We need to put recent performances and results right. So, yeah, it's as simple as that. 3 points is needed.
You've got a lot of senior pros in that dressing room, all of which have probably been through difficult runs in the past. How invaluable have they been to the younger cohort to say, look, every team goes through a bad run, a bad spell, but we will come out of it?
Yeah, they're really important. I think regardless of how old you are, how many games you've played, who you are, everyone's hurting in that dressing room. We're not immune to seeing what's been said, but at the end of the day, we're all professional footballers and we all have pride and we don't want to lose. And it hurts losing and it hurts being where we are. So obviously everyone deals with that differently. But yeah, the experience of boys who have been through it before and know how to deal with it has been massive, because yeah, it's been bothering everyone. No one wants to lose. No one wants to be in this situation. It's not a nice position to be in. All we can do is try to put it right Saturday.
How important is it psychologically to try and end the season with a few wins under your belt to go into next season with that bit more of a positive momentum?
Yeah, it's massive. There's no dressing up that it hasn't been good enough as recently and as a whole this season. I think it's fair to say we're underachieving with the ability we have. I think we expected more of ourselves. We're disappointed. Like I said, we're hurting. So just winning as many games as we can before the end of the season is really important for us. we need to restore a bit of pride within ourselves as a team and try to get the fan base back on side, because quite rightly, I think they're disappointed with us and they've showed it, and there's nothing wrong with that because in times it's been warranted. So yeah, for ourselves, our own pride and the football club, we need to get back to winning ways.
Now the Gills are currently 16th in the table. Tomorrow's opposition are 21st. Kickoff will be at 3 and you'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online. And staying with football, Gravesend's Punjab United are in semi-final action in the FA Vars this weekend. They travel to take on Cock Fosters in the first leg, with the tie ultimately being decided at the Steve Cook Stadium 7 days later. Whoever wins will get to play in the final at Wembley. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Whilst you're on the website, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker. I hope you have a fantastic weekend, and we'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.